Welcome, everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast on Stories for Joshua. We are in day 30. My goodness. And the title of the day is Me and My Guitar, Part 2. I went back to East Carolina University after my summer job with my brand new Yamaha guitar, and man, was it sweet. Up until that time, I'd only played, or should I say copied, other artists, but now I started to think about writing my own songs. I'm going to jump ahead here and skip some parts, which I'll get back to later, but fast forward about a year or so, and I was involved with a Christian ministry there in Greenville at East Carolina, and we all decided at some point that we wanted to do a coffee house. Today, some might not even know what a coffee house is or was. Here is some of the background information that I found online, and of course, you know, if it's online, it's true. But anyway, historically, American folk and traditional music was produced in homes, churches, and traditional community-based venues, such as neighborhood taverns, jute joints, community halls, beer gardens, and ethnic clubs. After World War II, inspired in part by small, informal jazz clubs and beatnik poetry dives, folk music began to be performed and identified with coffee houses. Today, in the world of folk music, the lines between home concerts, folk clubs, coffee houses, and the such are slightly more commercial food/music venues, as we see now in many places across the country. However, they all share the atmosphere of performance culture that offers both performers and audiences a musical experience considerably different from what they would experience were they to attend a performance in a concert hall or theater. It's hard to come up with a hard and fast definition of folk music coffee houses, but in their own publicity material, certain phases come up over and over again. For one, most coffee houses boast that their atmosphere is intimate, friendly, informal, and relaxing. Many explicitly state that they are a child/family-friendly place. They are almost always universally smoke-free and frequently also alcohol-free. Almost all serve modestly priced hot or cold beverages, usually fair trade by market, and a tempting home-baked desserts. Most prominently, note that they are nonprofit or volunteer-run organizations that take pride in presenting the best in contemporary and traditional folk music. Musical styles vary widely from week to week, but they are usually described by an overarching term as acoustic. So that's some background on what coffee houses are defined and what their history and kind of the background was. Well, this organization that I was a part of had a very nice home only a few blocks from the college campus, and they had converted a 3-car-plus garage into a meeting room with a stage in it. So we made some huge pillows and put them on the floor, cut out some circles of plywood and put those also on the floor to hold candles and maybe incense. And we had a spotlight on the front stage, which was only about 10 inches off the floor, not any higher than that. And so when we turned off the light, it transformed from a meeting room to a coffee house. Yes, we served free coffee and donuts in the back of the room, and we had a microphone and amps on the stage. All we needed now was music, and since I was the only one who could play the guitar, I was volunteered. We also had a great artist in our area named Stevie K. Lewis. She had an amazing voice and played the guitar extremely well. So Stevie K. would do her 45-minute set of her songs, then I would do a 45-minute set of my songs, and then we would do a 45-minute set of us together. That was the show in all its glory. In the beginning, we both sang songs everyone knew, but very quickly, we each would write one or two songs a week. It's kind of amazing to think back on that we could be so prolific in our writing. But by the end of it all, I could do all three sets by myself with 80% of my songs being originals. Finally, we sang together most of the time and only occasionally would do individual songs. So, get this. I would play a football game on Saturday afternoon with the ECU Pirates during the season, when it was football season, and then come to the coffee house that night and be a musician for 3 hours. Quite a contrast. It was an amazing success. We would have 30 to 50 people or more on a Saturday night. When the weather was nice, and it's almost always nice in Greenville, there would be up to 70-plus people hanging around inside and outside the coffee house. Sonny Culbreth, who lived in the home there, was the master of ceremonies each Saturday night. As a full disclaimer, sometimes, maybe a lot of times, those of us putting on the production would also have some Boone's Farm apple wine along with the coffee and donuts. This is absolutely horrible stuff, so don't ever buy it. They say it has formaldehyde in it. I don't know. But this was college. We were young and very stupid. It was a lot of fun, and we had tremendous success. And this leads to several other things that I did. But that's a story for another time.